I'd encourage you to open your Bibles this morning, if you will, please, to the book of Jeremiah. It's good to see each one here that is able to be. We have several that are out for various reasons. I'll let Donald take care of that at the announcement time. We do have some in the cars, and we're glad you're there. This time of the year, there's a lot of sickness going around, and people are trying to avoid spreading it to others, and some are not able to be out at all, and so they have to stay at home. So we pray for their recovery, and we miss them when they're not here. In Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 19, "Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place, on man and on beast, and on the trees of the field, and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifice and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice and be my people, and walk in my way in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backwards and not forward." When you think about the impact of these words toward Israel, the children of Israel were a very blessed group of people. God had promised Abraham many years before that he would make of his seed a great nation, and through his seed the Savior would come, through which all people would be blessed. They understood that there is God, and he's given them his word and his will, and that they, through the seed of Abraham, through the lineage, the physical lineage of Abraham, they could be God's children if they hearkened his voice and obeyed him. The tragedy that happened with Israel, not just once, but numerous times throughout the Old Testament, was that they would draw nigh unto God, and he would accept their repentance and bring them back, and then they would fall away again. They'd be tempted by those around them. They'd get caught up in adultery by the nations around them and get involved in that. They'd take foreign women that they were not allowed to take for their wives, and they would marry them. They would treat one another in the wrong way. They did not follow the rules that God gave. Basically, when you look at the children of Israel, you see that when God spoke, sometimes they would hear, and then sometimes they'd obey, but then they did not listen to the point that they would continue to be obedient. They did not follow the instructions of God. Therefore, he turned his back on them, because they turned their back on him. God was always there. He wanted to be to them a father, and for them to be his children, and that he would care for them. Yet they turned their back on God numerous times. So they failed to follow his instructions. Had they believed God as they should, then they would have followed the instructions given to them so that they could receive the blessings that God offered. Yet time and again they turned away, and then we know that they were carried into captivity numerous times. A remnant came back to Jerusalem. We know the walls were built and some things were restored. And when Jesus was born and of the seed of David, we know that the Jews were still in practice of the things that God had told them according to the Jewish law and the commands of God there in Jerusalem in the day of that time. And they lived under the rule of the Roman government, but they were allowed to practice their Jewish faith and the Jewish belief. Yet many of those during the days of Christ had turned their back on the very matter of the law. They had followed their own traditions. They had taken on themselves to do what had been handed down by the fathers and the elders, rather than to take and follow what God had handed down through his commands. So they were following the precepts of tradition and of men more than they were of God. So there they were again. They had sinned against God. What happened in that? Well, they failed to follow instructions. Flash forward to 2023, And you see, in our lives as Christians today, the only thing that would keep us on track is our faith in the Word of God, believing that Word, standing that Word, and applying that Word to our life. Obedience by faith to the Word of God will keep us on track, because the Word of God tells us the things we are to do and the things we are not to do. The Word of God tells us how to come to God and be saved, and it tells us how to keep saved. It tells us what to do when we make mistakes so we can be right with God. And if we follow His instructions, we can remain faithful to God. But if not, we turn a deaf ear to God and we fall away. Sometimes it's because of our own lust. Sometimes it's because of the influence of others that we let lead us astray. Sometimes it's because of our own lack of faith. But the possibility to serve God is always there. So how do we do that? First, we must believe God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." So faith in God is essential to be able to come to Him. But faith then comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. So God is there. His Word is there. What He's done through Jesus is there for us. What the Holy Spirit has done in revealing the mind of God to inspired men that we can read from the book, the Holy Bible today, and learn these things should help us to know the instructions that we're to follow. Our duty then is to follow those instructions. So we said all that this morning to talk about the importance of following instructions. And if you listen to the news and you look around in society and you see things that are going on in government, in business, and in society, and in families, you see that many people today have no regard for the rule of law. They don't even have regard for the rule of law, for the law of the land. They disrespect the laws of the land, and they're bent on not keeping the laws of the land because they know that swift and quick judgment is not going to come on them because they're following the devil, and many today are following the devil and Satan and his ways, and so they feel like they are above the law. They don't have to follow instructions. But while they feel like they don't have to follow instructions, they require that others that they don't like, who would believe in Christ, that we must follow instructions that they tell us we must follow, that they themselves will not obey. And so it happens religiously, spiritually. It happens in government. It happens in society. It happens in families, that the failure to follow instructions from God, leads governments, it leads nations, it leads people, it leads individuals, and it leads family to a destruction spiritually and oftentimes physically and materially, to not only bring physical death but spiritual death, because we fail to heed the instructions that God gives us in His Word. The answer to our problems is simple. Read the Word of God, believe it, and follow the instructions. I'm sure many of you are like I am. Over time, I have had things that need to be put together. You buy something in a box and you take it home and you have instructions of how to put it together. And you open the box up and you lay everything out and you have these little lists of instructions in about five different languages. And if you can find the English version of it somewhere on those pages, then you can lay it aside and you can look at it. And if you go to number one and number two, and it tells you the tools you need and the size of the screws and the bolts and things, and lay it out. But sometimes I have failed when I look at that, and I would think, well, this is number one, so this must be number two. And I get down to about number five, and I realize I need to go back and undo number three, but it's on a lock nut, and I can't do anything about it. A friend of mine not long ago was putting a new rocking chair together that he bought. And he had this thing put together, and so he started with the instructions, and about instructions number four, he skipped on over and kept going, and when he got it finished, it was sitting sideways, because he had failed to put the bolts in the right place in the right hole, and so it was a rocker that sat sideways, and it wouldn't rock like it's supposed to, an expensive rocker. But the thing was, when he put the bolt together, it locked in, so he had to cut that off and go find another bolt and another tap to put on there, and he was finally able to get it back apart and put it back together. Failure to follow instructions causes problems, not just in the mechanical world and the technical world, but in the spiritual world. Failure to follow instructions. So this morning, for the next 15 or 20 minutes, and the Lord's willing in the next lesson, I want to study about some things from God's Word that shows us not only the warnings, but what happens to people when they fail to follow instructions. And we're going to start at the beginning and go all the way through the Bible and look at about 6 or 8 different examples, perhaps, of people who fail to follow instructions. Failing to follow instructions can bring trouble for the individual and others. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2, and we look at Adam and Eve, and we're probably not going to read all these verses, but most of you know this event, what happened, an actual event. God made heaven and earth. He made man, and he took the bone from the man's side. He made the woman and gave her to him, and his name was Adam, and her name was Eve, and she was his wife, and she was called woman. God gave her to him. So the instructions from God is that there are two different sects in the world. There's a man and a woman, the male and the female. And anything else that's discussed in the Bible that tries to be made more or less of that is sin. And it brings on condemnation to the soul of those that are involved in it. So he put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he told them, you know, you're in the garden, I'm blessing you with everything you need here, and you may eat of every fruit of every tree in the garden except for the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, and the day you eat thereof you shall surely die. That's some fairly clear instructions. And there's nothing to indicate that they did not understand the instructions. And there's something that indicates that they did understand, because the serpent beguiled Eve, and he came to her, and he said, he made the fruit look good to her. And he said, she said, you know, we're not to eat of this fruit. We can't eat of this, because the day we eat thereof, we shall surely die. So she knew the instructions. Adam knew the instructions. But he said, oh, you don't worry about that. Oh, you'll be wise as God if you will eat this fruit. That's why he don't want you to have it. Go ahead and eat it. And it looked good to her. So she ate of the fruit. And she gave it to her husband, and their eyes were open, and they realized evil from good, and they realized they were naked, and they went and hid themselves. And the Lord called unto them. He knew where they were at. He knew what they had done, because everything is open to the eyes of the Lord and to him with whom we have to do. He knew all that. But what brought Adam and Eve into trouble was that they failed to follow the instructions that God had given them. And you know, in Adam and Eve's case, you would think that there's not a detailed list of don'ts and do's, or do's and don'ts. There's not a detailed list of what ifs, but there's one thing. You can eat of every fruit of the tree in the garden except for the tree in the midst of the garden. You cannot eat of the fruit thereof, because in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. You shall not eat of the fruit there. I've taken some classes over the years in school and professional classes in business and in my work. And sometimes you'll have a teacher that'll give you so many instructions that when at the end of the class, you think, well, how many of these do he think I can follow? But if they give you just clear instructions, it's easy. Like Coach Lowe at Cold Springs, or Miss Alberta Bailey at Coleman High School. Simply, you read the chapter. And when you come here tomorrow, you're going to be asked who, what, where, when, and why, and occasionally which, and where off. So you knew what to expect. And if you learn those things, you learn the content, you retained it, and if you could answer it, you took it with you, and you kept it because you followed instructions. Well, here it is, Adam and Eve. What happened because they failed to follow instructions? It cost them their place in the Garden of Eden. Now, the Garden of Eden, if we read about it, we see that it was a good place. There was nothing there that they didn't need. And there was everything there that they didn't need. They had life. God was with them. They were in the presence of God. And their duty was
Dress and keep it. Don't eat the fruit in the midst of the tree of the garden. Dress and keep it. So they were to dress and keep the garden. They could enjoy the fruits thereof, but don't eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden. But when they disobeyed God, when they failed to follow instructions, it cost them their place in the Garden of Eden and ultimately death. Notice in Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 17, and we won't have time to read all these verses this morning, but when you think about what God, the instructions he gave them there about what to do, life in the garden. He planted a garden in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every tree grow that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we talked about that. There was a river in that garden that went out of Eden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. And so we had a beautiful place for them to be, and he gives the names of the river. And then the Lord took the man and put him in the garden and said, tend and keep it. And he gave him that command. We go over Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 19, and we see that the serpent was more cunning or subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And so then we have what we talked about earlier, what she said to him and what he said to her. And so verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both, verse 7 of Genesis 3, then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed the leaves together and made themselves coverings. And so the Lord approached them about that. In verse 11, he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Well, God already knew the answer. And the man said, the woman whom you gave to me with one, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this thing, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. So the serpent, he received the recompense and reward from God of what's going to happen to him from now on. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now this is where we have the beginning of the talking of what God having in his mind of a Savior, so that we could overcome sin, so that we could resist the devil. And to the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And so the impact of failing to follow instructions, simple instructions, brought a curse on Adam and Eve and the serpent that caused Adam and Eve to be cast out from the beautiful place, the Garden of Eden. They lost their place in that wonderful time and that era of which God was blessing them. What done that? Sin. What brought about the sin? Temptation. And so when we see temptation come to us, if we latch on to that temptation as Eve did, then what happens is in that temptation we see that in a temptation it leads to the fact that we lust, we're tempted, and we give in to it. Then, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's what happened to Eve and Adam. But then, when we sin, it not only affects us, but when it affects us, and we have to face up to our sins, it must be human nature to blame people. Because Eve said, why the serpent? The serpent. She tried to blame the serpent. Well, whose fault was it that the instruction wasn't followed? It was Eve, because she gave in to something she was being told that had no verification. And she sinned. And then the man said, Adam said, the woman that you gave me, she gave of me this, and I did eat. Well, here he is, passing the buck again. What happens to people in their lives? Look around today and listen to people and observe people out in the world, and you approach them, and then you have people robbing stores and taking people's property and burning personal property and killing police and killing civilians and killing people and taking their things from them and stealing and robbing. And then when they get caught, woe is me. I'm the one that's the victim. I was only taking that because they had more than I did. I was only doing that because woe is me. Look what a bad time I've had. You see, people always make excuses when they don't want to do right. People always make excuses, and they're going to wallow themselves and bury themselves in excuses because their temptation is so great that they cannot and will not distinguish right from wrong and punishment from not being punishment. And so people just go and do as they please, as Adam and Eve. And the thing is, God gives us a will and a way and the ability to understand, and tells us in a way through His Word that we can understand it. I've been told the Bible's written on the sixth grade level, and that's probably right. Because if you really study the Bible, beginning in Genesis and go through Revelation, it is understandable. There are some things, as has been wrote, there are some hard sayings, and some hard sayings that may be hard to accept, but sometimes they are hard to accept because we are drawn away of our own lust and we just don't want to face the truth. Or we just don't want to change our own way. And so it's a hard saying because we don't want to understand what it is. And we're not going to understand it because we're drawn of our own lust and we're enticed and we're going to sin. Failure to follow instructions of God brought devastation to the children of Israel. It brought devastation to people down through the centuries. And we don't just have to see it in the Bible. We can read a parallel of history and see that how disobedience to what God said and the instructions He gave man down through the ages has brought destruction on man. It has brought division in nations. It has cost people their lives. It has caused all kind of problems. And many people have lived and died, according to history, failing to follow the instructions of God. We won't find any better instructions anywhere than that which comes from God. Again, you're familiar with it, and I can let Barry or Donald or James or any of you quote this, but 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So the Scriptures gives us instructions. And our instructions are to hear the Scriptures, to rightly divide them, to study them and learn them, to believe them and to obey them. In other words, God says, follow my instructions, and you, that is me and individuals, can be what God wants us to be. It'll make us honest. It'll make us morally good. It'll make us, through the blood of Christ, have to have forgiveness of our sins because we come to Him and obey it. It'll make us a good citizen. It'll make a good student, a good teacher. It'll make a good husband, a good wife, a good child, a good parent, a good neighbor, a good employer, a good employee, if we follow the instructions, Barry. But you have all kind of problems, from municipalities to localities to businesses, from the top to the bottom, because people fail to follow the instructions that are given, that are good and just and right in the sight of God. Now, I said when we began this study this morning that we would cover several points in these two lessons. We may not even get to the second point in this first lesson, so we may have a little short series of studies on following the instructions of God for a couple of Sundays. I don't know. We'll see how far it goes. But nonetheless, you look at Genesis chapter 2, And you see, failure to follow instructions did what? It cost Adam and Eve their place in the Garden of Eden and ultimately death. Let's look at number two. We probably may not be able to finish this, but we'll go as far as we can. Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus chapter 10. Turn there, please. And this is familiar to probably each and every one of you. We see that what happened in their failure to follow instructions cost them their life. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, or strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded. What happened here? They did not follow the instructions. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 30, and then we'll come back to where we're at. Exodus chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, to get a little history on this. Exodus chapter 30, beginning in verse 8. He's talking about the altar of incense and the priest. Verses 8 and 9. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Verse 9. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor should you pour a drink offering on it. Verse 9. You shall not offer strange incense on it. Leviticus 10. What did these two men do? Nadab and Abihu? Put incense on it and offered profane or strange fire before the Lord. They used the wrong thing. They did not follow the instructions. And look at verse 2. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Swift and quick judgment sometimes from God in the Old Testament. And you know, we see that happened to these people. Their life was taken because they failed to follow the instructions. And you read that and you see the lineage and everything that happened. There was no reason for them not to have known, because it says they offered strange fire. And we went back to read where what they were supposed to offer. So they offered strange fire, they disobeyed God, and he punished them. Failure to follow instruction brings what? It brings circumstances. Failure to follow instructions brings what? It can bring faith. Failure to follow instructions can bring what? It can bring punishment. It can bring what? It brought death in the case of these two. And so we see then in verse 3, Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spake, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. There was a reason that God gave instructions. There was a why and the whereof and the wherefore that God told them to do certain things in a certain way and to offer up certain stuff. And he meant for it to be done that way. And when they did not do it, they failed to follow instructions, and they lost their life. You know, I've enjoyed this study the last few days, putting all this together. And it really gave me an opportunity to examine my life and look back and ask myself the question, why did I not do a better job over the years of obeying God? Why did I not take things more serious that God instructs? We say we take it serious. We come to the services and we study our Bibles and we call and check on the sick. We take things serious, but do we really take it serious to say, I need to really get my heart right? I really need to get my heart right with God, and I really need to get into his instructions and see that if I don't obey it, I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to lose my soul because I won't follow his instructions, because I won't believe him. Lack of faith. And there's a lot of things that cause a lack of faith. There's a lot of things that cause disobedience. And one of the things that people say so often is that, oh, I'm just so discouraged. You just ain't gonna believe what I've been going through. I have no idea what you're going through, but God does. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Read His instructions and find out how to handle it. And if it can't be taken away, learn how to get through it so you can live faithful. With every temptation He giveth, He also provides a way of escape. Well, our time's up. But I tell you, next time I put a lawnmower or something together, I'm going to follow the instructions. But today, more important than that, you and I, if we haven't put our life together according to God's instructions, we need to back up and we need to redo those things and go by the book. Follow the instructions He's given and believe Him. Have faith in Him. Believe to the point that we're willing to confess Christ as the Son of God, repent of our sins, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And that's His instructions and His promise is, if we follow those instructions by faith, we will be saved from our sins. And then, get in the book and desire the sincere milk of the Word and grow thereby. Follow the instructions and we can be faithful and serve God. And by following the instructions by faith, we can't earn salvation, but He will give us salvation because we, by faith, followed His instructions and loved Him enough to love ourselves enough to get our life right with Him and try to leave others to Christ. If you're here this morning and we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and while we sing.